Just a minute. This is how Kenny writes, so if I... I'm trying to decipher it as I go along. First of all, I'd like to say that overall, I think that ANGSCA has had a positive effect in the lives of most, on the lives of most Alaskan Natives, in the sense that the Act finally recognized Alaskan Natives as a sovereign people capable of self-determination. Through this Act, its once proud original people of this state can hold their heads high once again and forevermore. Now, if we had it all to do again, I would like to have seen the Act given more time to be investigated, because I feel that it was shoved on through mostly because of the pipeline. An example of the results of such hurried action was evident in our region's acquisition of land consisting of mountainous tops and glaciers. Another gripe I have is the alienation of two segments of our Native population, the young born after the cutoff date and the elderly. Those who won't be around in 1991 to enjoy the benefit, enjoy its benefits. Another gripe I have is that I believe that all Alaskan Natives should be entitled to 160 acres of land, not just those who qualify because of traditional use or enrolled to a village. And last but not least, I feel that by creating 13 regional profit corporations, more care should have been taken in the preparation for transference of stock and shares, since most Alaskan Natives know very little about profit corporations. Perhaps 20 years for a corporation to make it or break isn't long enough. Personally, I believe that in 1991, stock in Native corporations should be kept within the Native community and not put out on the open market. In closing, I think that ANGSCA has been good for us, but we would have survived anyway without it, even though things would have been tougher overall. I'm glad we have the Act, ANGSCA. Or maybe that was the whole sentence, I don't know. These are my thoughts. Kenneth Eugene Blatchford.
Thank you. Could we keep that
as
part of the record? Thank you very much.
Don't ask me.
My name is Ellen Blatchford Setters. I'm enrolled to the Sea Alaska Corporation. I'm also the Indian Ed tutor at school. I have four children. Two of my children are enrolled to Sea Alaska with me. The younger two aren't, which is sort of awkward, you know, to teach my younger kids what place they have in this world of our being Native. And I think that my biggest concern is with the education part of this thing. I think that there should have been more public education, not just for the natives, but for the non-natives too. I don't think the majority of us knew what was at stake when all this was going on. I don't think that we realized that so much was being, not sold, but like given away. And I think that I hope what comes out of this is the element of education, thinking about the Native people in Canada. Before the legislation is put before your governing body, I hope that there's a program educating the whole public, not just the Native people of Canada, about what's going on and what's at stake. most of our children don't realize what why they're enrolled to corporations, or why they aren't enrolled to corporations, even though other members of their families are. Anyway, so education was my main concern. I think, first of all, the Native people have to know who they are, like living in Seward before Angska. We were just all Seward people. And then all of a sudden we're a whole Native community, you know, and we've never, you know, it has never been like a village of one type of Native people. And so here we were after the act we were Eskimos, Aleuts, Indians, and we were put together. Of course, we'd been neighbors, some of us almost all our lives and things like that. But then the next thing we knew, we were supposed to be a community of Natives, you know, and we'd never had been put in that position before. We were an entity where, as before, we were just neighbors and friends, lots of relatives, you know. And so it's been a long educational process, but I think if we would have had more information when this was going on, I think that maybe we could have done things differently so that our younger children aren't excluded. I'm not sure what can be done now, but it certainly made us take a look at who we are and what we've got and where we want to go with it. These are just my notes. These aren't to be submitted to for anything. Overall, I too think that the positive part of the Alaska Native Land Claims Act was the bringing together the Native community. The financial part of it, as an individual shareholder, hasn't even made a dent in my financial status. And I'm concerned about my nativeness being based on a dollars and cents value, which may disappear, you know, completely at the hands of somebody else. And I'm going to quit at this so as not to give Edgar any competition in the length of testimony.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, we've got lots of time, and the chair's empty here. I hope you won't be sorry you said that, because what we usually do at these meetings is bring the microphone to you. Can we do that? Can we do that, Jim?
I'm not the only coward.
Working, Jim?
My name is Esther Ronnie from Seward. I'm really not going to talk very much, but I do have some questions. Edgar made a statement that he felt the claims were for village people, which I wonder, did he mean that it was not intended for people like us at large?
Why don't you come over here and...
Well, Esther, what I'm concerned about is that, you know, of course, you have to understand that I'm not speaking for Chugach Alaska Corporation, or CNI, We always have to keep in mind, I think, that you know, without the villages, there would be no regional corporation. And you know, to answer your question, ANSCO is intended for Alaska Native peoples, so they were enrolled in at-large categories or village corporations. And certainly ANSCO was intended to benefit all of Alaska Native peoples, you know, anywhere that they were living in the United States. When I look at the Chugach region and having traveled in different parts, you know, of Alaska and certainly down below in the lower 48, I see that there is a greater distance from the Native attitudes or the willingness to be identified as Alaska Native. So when I say that ANSCA should, we all should always keep in mind that ANSCA should benefit those people who are living in the villages, what I'd like to expand upon that to say that ANSCA should benefit those people who want to be identified as Alaska Natives, wherever they are in the United States.
So do you think that we don't want to be identified as Alaska Natives?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I think it's up to the people, wherever they are in the country, as to where they want to be, what they want to identify themselves as. I think most people want to live in the United States, identify themselves, of course, as American. And there are, in dealing with the Chugach region, where, you know, 55% of our shareholders are at large, what I personally am afraid of is that we begin to lose sight of the fact that we're a Native corporation. And I think, you know, we're constantly being pushed to act more as a professional organization, as a professional business organization. And I have to agree with Carol Benoit's comments that she would not like to see us lose the closeness as a community that we are. And I think that's, you know, the good thing that North Pacific Rim has done for the Chugach region that Chugach Natives has not done for the Chugach people. Because as we look at NPR, we see that NPR has brought all the villages together, all of the communities together in quarterly meetings, you know, their strong programs that they have existing in each one of the communities. So I think that, you know, we just have to keep the fact that we're not just a normal corporation, we are a Native corporation. And sometimes when I look at the regional corporation and having visited some of them in their headquarter offices, wherever they are in the state, I wonder whether the traditional Native thoughts are still there, whether, you know, these Native corporations that we now have ceased to be Native corporations in thought and in attitudes. And I don't want Chugach Alaska Corporation to lose that. But, you know, that's, I guess, in a roundabout way what I meant. Okay.
Well, I think this might go along with what you just talked about. If the date when stock becomes transferable is postponed, let me stop and think. Got to get my other notes in here. I'm losing my train of thought. I think in order for to encourage Natives to keep their stock, that the very fact that Natives didn't go out and actively seek to buy stock, and what I say is they're captive stockholders, because we didn't decide we want to make an investment and go buy stock. We were given, forced to take it. So I think by that fact, these stockholders are a little different than most corporation stockholders, and maybe benefits should be designed and tailored a little more to appeal to the type of stockholders you have. And in that way, they might be more inclined to keep their stock.
Can I respond?
Sure.
You know, I agree with your comments, Esther. You know, I think, you know, in my dealings with Alaska Natives within the Chugach region, what I found out is that the average Alaska Native enrolled to a Native corporation knows more about corporate law and proxies than any other group of races of people in the United States. Because everywhere you go in the villages, everybody knows what a proxy is. And I think it's been a tremendous education program for people. As you know, and I agree that that there must be something done to kind of tailor ourselves. You know, this is again only my personal opinions, that we have to tailor ourselves to accept to get more of our people to accept the fact that we want to be a Native corporation after 1991. And but you know, we have the danger of and I guess I have to call it a danger, and that is, you know, takeovers by large corporations. And that's why I say, you know, when I differentiate between at-large and the village shareholders, what we try to do at the regional level is try to erase those, you know, those distinctions, that we can't look at ourselves as village shareholders or as at-large shareholders. We have to look at ourselves as shareholders in Chugach, Alaska, or shareholders in any one of the other regional corporations, because the minute that we begin to differentiate into categories like that at large and village shareholders, we're going to split the region, and that's what I'm afraid of. When you split the region, a lack of unity means that we can be easily conquered, so to speak, in a takeover after 1991. So I think we have to identify ourselves as shareholders in CNI or CAC. And how we go about dealing with that, Esther, I don't know. I think Justice Berger and his commission, I think they're doing a great job of increasing interest again in at the individual level in the goals and objectives of ANSCA. Okay.
Also, I had one more question. If amendments are made to ANSCA, wouldn't that be a time to amend it so that everybody had land and not just village people?
Do you want to answer?
Well, I'd like to hear your answer.
Well, you know, Esther, that is... I have no idea. I think we can, if the Native communities, the 13 regional corporations and the 200 village corporations could ever agree, I think that we can present anything to the Congress. And I think that almost anything would be acceptable to the Congress of the United States. But we have to get over that initial hurdle, that initial obstacle, and that is how, that is to bring ourselves together. And I think that's one of the reasons that the Alaska Federation of Natives is now watching very closely what is coming out of these meetings, is because we have to develop a consensus feeling amongst ourselves first before we go back to the Congress of the United States. And if the people, and if the consensus among the Alaska Native peoples and all the various organizations is that we give out classes of shares and individual parcels of land, I think that can be accomplished. I think it can be accomplished. It may be difficult, but I think it can be accomplished. And the potentialities are numerous of what can be presented to the Congress. And just going through the Chugach land settlement process, we have to, it took us 10 years to arrive at a land settlement. We had to battle with the federal government and all the federal agencies in the federal government. And then we had to battle with the state government and all the agencies in the state government. Then we had to battle with some of the special interest groups, such as the environmental lobby. And it took us 10 years, but I can say that we won. It was difficult. It was very expensive. but we won. It was not maybe the kind of victory that we had hoped for, if we speak in terms of victory in cash and land, but we did it. But then it came 10 years late, and we lost kind of the 20-year grace, 10 years of the 20-year grace period.
Did you have something else?
No, I think that's it.
You asked, could the act be amended so that everybody has land, not just village people? Well, you have 100 shares in Chugach, don't you? Well, that means that you are just as much a landowner as people in the village, except that the people in the village would hold shares in their own village corporation as well as shares in Chugach. But you're all shareholders, whether you're an at-large shareholder or a village shareholder, and it's the corporations that actually own the land. That's the distinct and, in a sense, unique feature about this Alaskan settlement. And there's no settlement like it anywhere else in the United States or in any other country, as far as we know. That is, where you have shares that will become transferable to outsiders in the future. But forgive me, I just wanted to remind you of that the people in the villages, they don't have land, they've got shares, just as you have shares in Chugach. Only they've got their 100 shares in Chugach and they've got 100 shares in whatever their village corporation is. You may have been implying, would Congress be likely to provide us with additional land beyond the 44 million acres that were to be conveyed under ANCSA? That's one question. It seems to me it might be difficult to persuade Congress that Alaska Natives should receive additional land. The other question that you touched on was providing land to individual shareholders, that is, dividing up the land and I see. Yeah.
I'd like to say I don't want to leave anyone with the impression that I intend to sell my stock, because I don't. But I think you should know that there's a big difference between owning stock in a corporation that has the land and living in a village where you can set foot on that land and you can build a house on that land. Because if our corporation owns the land, I don't even know where it is. I'll probably never touch it.
Well, that's a good point. I have a feeling Mr. Blatchford wants to say something.
Well, I think maybe to clarify, the villages and the regional corporations. Some of the village corporations have decided that their individual shareholders should own parcels of land. EAC Corporation out of Cordova, of course, had a lottery where each one of their shareholders received, I think it was an acre or two acres out at Hartney Bay outside of Cordova. And I think there are some other village certainly other village corporations in Alaska that have done the same thing. Seldovia has done it. And I think that even Nilchik is going to do it, I think, but it's it's up to 40 acres over in the Nilchik area that they will parcel out to their individual shareholders.
To each, 40 acres to each?
To each shareholder. I think, don't quote me on that. Okay, but thank you.
Anyone else like to come up to the front, or... if not, Doric, maybe you'd stand there with the mic and we'll just see if anyone else would like to
free lunch, aren't you? Boy, yeah. You sure can talk any other time.
Well, how about that lady who just spoke?
Back here in Swartz, can't keep her mouth shut. My name is Karen Swartz. I'm enrolled to Chugach. All the rest of my family, except a cousin, I believe, enrolled to Cook Inlet Region Incorporation. They are in the village of Seldovia, where this is one of the villages that did give parcels of land to their people. So I find myself being terribly jealous of that. Come from a long, old pioneer family here, but like Will Rogers, the other half of my family was here to meet the boat. So anyway, and talking about the stock, we want to keep our stock in native hands, but I've heard an awful lot of discussion on it, and I've wondered to myself what the outcome will be. Do we have the right to tell our stockholders whether they can or should dispose of their stock? And that's exactly what we've complained about in years gone by, not being given the choice. I don't know the answer. I would never sell my stock. I would want to see that stock handed down in my family. But I would like that stock to be voting stock, and my five children are not one-fourth Indian. If I leave 20 shares each, I would want that stock to be able to be voted on. As it stands now, that couldn't happen. When my mother died, she gave the children her stock. Although they're owners, they're non-voting owners. We shareholders in Seward didn't have a choice in regard to land or money. And as Esther Ronnie said to me the other day, you couldn't buy a second-hand car with the money we received. I don't think the money was ever really an important part of the settlement to a great many of the people. And certainly for my part, if I'd had anything to say about it, I'd have been pleased to get 1 acre or 5 acres of land, because to me the land is what counts. It's always going to be here, and it's something tangible. And I think this is very, very important to us, because we people here in Seward, those of us of Native descent, we are a community within a community. We move freely through two worlds. There's never been any problem with us working, living, getting along. We don't have any more spats with our neighbors than the average people do anywhere. I think if there was any way to get any land for this area, as I said, something tangible, I think it would be important to us and certainly to our children. Without land, either for our Seward shareholders or even to Mont Marathon Association, at least to put up a meeting place, a building, so our Native community could have the freedom of having a meeting place. We just don't have the money to rent halls for $50 and $100. Each year when we give a potluck, we have to pay out quite a bit of money for that hall, and we don't have it, whereas once you have the land, you can apply to various places for grants. I just think a bit of land would give the people here more a sense of belonging, and surely with a community place, at least a place for cultural exchange between the Indians, Eskimos, and Aleut people who make up our Native community. And maybe you'd see more dedication to holding on to the stock that we have if a land amendment like this did go through. It would give more of an incentive to us who feel really in Seward, we're neither fish or fowl. We're almost like the 13th region, being on land. And that's all I really have to say. I do feel that land is an important part of the Settlement Act, and I think a great many Alaskans who are never going to get a chance to voice their opinions feel this way too.
Thank you, Mrs. Swartz.
I try to avoid the trip up there too. I'm glad you did this. My name is Henry Anderson. I live in Seward, but I'm registered with SERI, but I'm from Southeastern. So you might say I came in the north wind or something. The stock seems to be the big thing. What are we going to do with it in 1991? And if that stock had value, something that we could all use or be a part of, when it's in the corporations, it's in one big pot. And then you realize bits and pieces of it when the disbursements come out once or twice a year. I was talking to one of the people in SERI, and his suggestion was to have the land available for the shareholders in each corporation. If you have 50 acres or 100 acres somewhere and it's pretty neat fishing, there should be a way that all the folks could take advantage of it. Or if there's a place up the highway that's conducive to good hunting and fishing, maybe a lodge could be put in there somehow. And then the folks who own the shares would have a chance to go and use it. That way, they would see, my shares mean something. I can put my feet on the ground. I can go there. Then you're not so liable to sell it. If somebody gives you a large amount of money, a big offer, and you take it, then it's over with. The shares that I have, I guess to reap the benefits, whatever benefits are there, as long as I'm alive, that's fine. When I'm through with them, then it could go back into the corporation, or it could go to my children, to my wife. Both of my daughters were lucky enough to be born during that time. I guess I did my homework because I have two girls and they're registered. But for the folks that didn't do what I did and didn't have kids till later, then they're kind of out of it. There was a law about 1910 that gave 160 acres to all American Indians, and it was a law that was kept kind of quiet. I heard about it by accident in 1965. A friend of mine had done some research, and he said, did you know that there was such a law? And I said, nope. So we went down to BLM and started looking around, and we found some land and staked it out. And it took from 1966 until last winter before it was mine. So by fluke and probably by my wife's pushing, I went down and staked out that piece of ground. It's full of rocks, and when you stand on it, the water runs over your feet, but it's mine. So from that standpoint, I guess I was lucky. But this stock thing, if the corporations would do something then to make it real, and if they have any extra money that comes by from a good sale, share it with the stockholders. So there you have something that means something. You're not so apt to sell it.
Your allotment is 160 acres, is it?
No, this 1910 thing?
Is yeah. That,
no, we staked it all out, and it started out at 80-something, and it ended up 75 by the time they straightened out the stakes.
But it was under the Native Allotment Act?
Yes, yeah. That 1910 thing, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. From 1966 until now, yes, until last winter. There was something in the paper that they're trying to bring that back because there were so many contested people like you that got aced out, and I believe they're trying to extend the time somehow. But Yes, yes, don't give up. But you have the paperwork. One of our students, waited for about 10, 12 years, and he finally got his 160 plus the 40 over in, on the other side.
I can't understand why they say that you're allowed this, and then, well, he works on Testamina, and we couldn't, our children were small, and there was no way that I could go up there and clear it myself. Yeah, him, and then our neighbors next door reported in that I never was up there. We were up there a few times.
They required that you leave garbage behind so they could tell you'd been there. if, well, you know, and that was the argument that, no, you usually carry it out with you. But that was one of the things, and they went and asked the neighbors, one on either side, if I'd been there, and said, yep, he was there. So I'm walking across, you know, picking berries or hunting. Or yep. But there's a story, a lady was with me, she was trying to get her land squared away, and she said one of her blind neighbors had somebody stake out her land for her, and he was right next to this gal's, and she was still fighting, but the other one didn't get it. So, yes, it took a long time, but I finally have a piece of paper with my name on it.
Amen. Well, thank you, Mr. Anderson. Would you like to tell us a little bit about your allotment claim, ma'am? I was just thinking about that. Yes?
How about one more horn here?
Okay. Would you like to come to the front, or would you like us to bring the mic there?
Oh, I can go up there.
Do we take breaks? Okay.
Don't want. I've taken speech in college, so this isn't going to bother me. I'm Susan Anderson, and as a young person, I am concerned about what's happening with the corporations. I'm enrolled in CIRI, and I'm concerned about what happens if foreign investors or outside people buy out the corporations in 1991. You know, if that's going to change the corporations for me. I mean, that's part of my heritage. I mean, I don't live in a village per se, but I still feel I'm a quarter native, and I feel that, you know, my Tlingit heritage is important, and I'm special, and I'm different in that way. And so that's a big concern for me, as what's going to happen when all this, you know, starts going on in 1991. By then I'll be, I don't know, in my 30s maybe. But I do agree that there should be something tangible, as my father was saying, something that could be used by all. The shares are good, you know, that's a start. Like, you know, some other people were saying that we are a separate people. You know, that was recognized finally. But I feel kind of strange because I am young and I am coming up into all this, and it's going to start changing and going and happening, and I want to find out, you know, where things should go and how they should go, and it should be managed well so that people don't get taken advantage of. I don't plan on selling it, but I think other people of my age and older and younger think of the money aspect. And that's what they think of, money, for, you know, sell this and you get it back. Well, that's the immediate return. But as I think you mentioned, it's a part of your heritage that you're selling. And I think that needs to be emphasized somewhere. I don't know how, but it needs to be emphasized. And what else do I have here? I guess the whole thing is that I'm just concerned about what's going on, and I'm going to try and find out as much as I can and be a part of what's going on. I'm in college, and I'm part of my major is political science. So I hope to come back to Alaska and get involved in my corporation in some aspect such as that, and I think that'll be helpful in the future. So I don't know. We'll have to see how things go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to have a word before we take a little break? Well, we'll take a break for about 5 or 10 minutes then, and then start again. And
It may well be that. You can ask Edgar, I guess, is the problem.